It's Marissa, and you are listening to From Boise. We have a very artsy week coming up here in Boise with Trueform Music Fest about to begin tomorrow. And it just felt like the perfect time to share one of my favorite stories that I've ever written. I originally wrote this story in, like, I think 2021. And so it's never been on my podcast. There's like less than half of the same amount of people on the newsletter that I've read it. So I'm resharing it, which I don't do very often, but this one's one of my favorites. So I've been waiting for the moment when I can share this one again. I hope you enjoy it. This is The Life and Legacy of Cyril Mitchell. Live, work, create. You may have seen or heard these three words in relation to Garden City. There's a neighborhood there dubbed the Cyril Mitchell Live, Work, Create District. Spans 32nd to 37th streets on either side of Chinden. It's a neighborhood of many things: longtime residents and small houses, mobile homes, trailers, big metal warehouses storing who knows what, wineries and breweries, a few small businesses, a coffee shop, a market, a couple of bars, clusters of artist studios, a growing presence of towering townhomes built as close as possible to the river. Cyril Mitchell's house is here. The late artist designed and built her house in Garden City in 1988 with the help of John and Sarah Seidel. It's on 32nd Street, maybe a dozen paces from the Boise River. And I'm here in her home now, writing this story. My laptop is sitting on a little wooden table tucked between a corner of windows and a floor-to-ceiling bookcase. The entire tabletop is covered in small drips, brushes, and wisps of dried paint. There's another smaller table in the immediate corner. A mannequin head wearing a painted helmet is sitting on top, looking lifelessly over the room. This room is essentially her entire house. It's a long rectangle. There's hardwood floor throughout and art everywhere you look, yet it's not overwhelming. The length of the house draws you in, makes you curious and comfortable enough to go deeper, stay a while. Near the entrance, there's a huge closet filled with canvas, painting supplies, artwork. It's just off an open, empty room that blends seamlessly into the living room. Here, there are two bookcases filled to the brim. Books line every shelf. Jewish art and civilization, Picasso's Third Dimension, the short stories of Ernest Hemingway, and the art of eating, which I flipped open and found a reminder to call Maurice, I think, sprawled in cursive, written on a folded Boise City Council agenda from August 22, 1995. There are big books and small books, a skinny paperback book, Spirit Bone by Gino Sky, which opens to a handwritten note. Dear Cyril, welcome to this Cowboy Buddha Hotel. Cells dreaming inside. My love to you, Gino Sky. Books are not the only residents on her shelves. There's several small flip books, a deck of tarot cards, a layered collage held in a tiny black frame, two clay pots, and a small figurine. There's a button that says Art Slut, and a tiny wooden orange horse. A framed photo of Cyril's daughters, Rebecca and Stephanie, as children. A soft purple couch, a desk, and a custom coffee table made out of an old screen print crafted by Cyril's friend Mike Baltzell make up the living room. My favorite room of the house is a tiny, bright red bathroom. Every wall is covered in artwork, big and small. The kitchen sits at the far end of the room, a table and a butcher block in its center. The lone bedroom is just off the kitchen, separated by French doors. It's one of the few doors within the home. Live, work, create. It's what Cyril Mitchell did here, in this house and in our city. And those three words are important parts of Cyril Mitchell's legacy. Indeed, she lived a fun and full life here in Boise and in Garden City. She worked hard and on many things, both paid and as a volunteer. She made art, she taught, worked community and art events, served on civic boards and committees. And she was always, always creating. But to truly capture who Cyril was, you'd need to add a few more things. Be a friend to all, host parties often, get shit done, no regrets, might be a few you'd add to the list. I set out to write about Cyril Mitchell, to meet her through others' memories, her art, her work, her house. But I found that Cyril Mitchell can't be summed up in just a few words, or even solely with words. Cyril's legacy can be more easily seen and felt, perhaps practiced, rather than said. Meet Cyril. Cyril Lee Mitchell was born in New York City and grew up in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, with her parents and four siblings. Her parents were quite bohemian, and her father was an exceptional artist. Art was a constant in Cyril's life from the beginning. She had a model for what a life prioritizing creativity could look like. As a young adult, Searle flunked out of Penn State and decided to move out west to San Jose, California to live with her cousin, Joni. Here, Searle met her future husband, Winston Mitchell. A college flunk out himself, Winston joined the Navy before going back to school and graduating from Cal Poly. He then went to work for HP, where he actually knew Bill Hewlett and David Packard. Winston and Searle Mitchell married in 1967 and had two daughters, Stephanie and Rebecca. Soon after, Winston was tasked with helping HP open up a new Idaho location, so the Mitchell family relocated to Boise. "My mom cried all the way to Idaho, all the way," said Becky Mitchell Kaleda, Searle's youngest daughter and the co-founder of Searle's Place. "She was very upset because, you know, she's this Jewish bohemian artist moving to a pretty conservative place. And I think the beginning years were hard, but she found her spot in the Idaho Watercolor Society and made some really great lifelong friends," end quote. Searle's presence in the Boise community only got larger from there. She got involved with the Boise Gallery of Art and worked to grow it into a full-fledged museum, both as a docent and as a board member. It's now the Boise Art Museum. She worked art in the park, even chairing it once. She volunteered at events and went to shows and performances. Searle also went back to school in Boise, graduating from Boise State University in 1992. She was a member of the Boise City Arts Commission and the Garden City Arts Commission. She helped create the Boise City Visual Chronicle, a city-owned collection of art depicting life in Boise. As a longtime docent at the Boise Gallery of Art, Searle regularly gave tours to kids. Becky said, quote, "She always liked connecting with young creative people," end quote. That's how Tilly Bubb met Searle. Tilly has spent years in the arts and history department at the city of Boise. She's also an exceptional artist and a co-founder of Searle's Place, amongst many other things. Tilly was a student at Bishop Kelly High School when she went on a class tour of Searle's studio. She told me, quote, "She was in a studio with Edith Hope and Maureen Boyle in the basement of the Belgravia building. First, I was amazed that women could have studios. I thought that was like the coolest thing ever," said Tilly. "But Searle, she made art out of lint and collage stuff, and she was just funny," she said, end quote. Growing up in a Catholic school in Boise, Idaho, Tilly couldn't recall at that point if she had ever consciously met someone who was Jewish or from the East Coast, and Searle was both. She said, quote, "Searle was just different, different than anyone I had ever met, and she was wildly inappropriate. She made this joke about how she should have a bra that had a tip jar beneath it, so when people came to visit her studio, they could tip her boobs, and then she would make a lot more money than she did as an artist," end quote. Tilly left with a strong impression. She went and found a bra at a secondhand store and made this contraption that Searle had talked about. Then she went back to visit her. Tilly said, quote, "I said, I have something for you, and I flashed her, and she laughed uproariously. I took it off and gave it to her, and she hung it on her studio wall for the rest of her life," said Tilly. "That was the start of our friendship," end quote. A friend to all. Searle and Winston's home became Tilly's second home, and with that, Tilly met Becky and Stephanie in a revolving door of new people. Searle and Winston regularly hosted people in their home on Shenandoah Drive in the East End, and after they divorced in 1987, Searle continued hosting people in her big pink Victorian house on 8th Street in the North End. Becky remembers why the hosting began. She said, quote, "We were at Municipal Park and some Asian kids showed up. I said to Searle, 'What's wrong with their eyes?' And she was like, 'Oh, hell no,'" laughed Becky. "You know, my dad's from LA, my mom's from New York, and then everybody here was white. So she started importing diversity into the room next door to my bedroom," end quote. They hosted traveling artists, performers in town with Idaho Shakespeare Festival, nomads. They hosted parties and had guests over for dinner. Searle was a stranger to none and a friend to all. Becky said, quote, "My mom could be very judgmental, but at the same time, everybody's way of being was totally legitimate and accepted. It's why people wanted to be around her. People could sense that however they were in the world was celebrated by her. Not just accepted, but celebrated." She did not have specific ideas about the kind of person she was interested in having a relationship with, said Becky. She was friends with kids. She was friends with old people. She was friends with people who were totally unlike her. She had all kinds of friend groups that were all very different. She delighted in people. She really did, end quote. Being friends with Cyril exposed Tilly to different ways of living, thinking, being, and influenced her to pursue college in New York and a path as an artist. With Cyril's encouragement, Tilly took the leap, spending a few years in New York, Oregon, New Jersey, and back to New York. All the while, Tilly and Cyril maintained their friendship, writing letters and visiting each other. Tilly said, quote, "Through all that, I would come home and I would always see Cyril, and she kept making Boise a place that I was interested in coming back to," said Tilly. "I think that if Cyril hadn't been here, moving back would have been a lot harder of a sell for me. It would have been difficult for me to contemplate," end quote. Live, work, create. Cyril was a phenomenal artist, and her art was something that came from deep within. Each piece was something that Cyril not only wanted to make, but needed to. Becky said, quote, "Even if she thought a series she was making was not necessarily sellable, if she had to make it, she had to make it. Gallery owners would say, 'But Cyril, we need you to have a brand.' And she would be like, 'Yeah, well, this is what I'm making right now because this is what I have to make right now.'" End quote. Cyril's art helped people see the world. She worked with paint, mixed media, sculpture, and installation art, large, small, and everything in between. Her works brought beauty to the world through color and social and cultural commentary. And though it was something she did first and foremost for herself, Cyril's work earned much recognition. She was the recipient of the Idaho Governor's Award for Excellence in the Arts in 2000 and the Boise City Mayor's Award for the Excellence in Arts and History, and an Individual Award for Excellence in the Arts in 2011. Her work has been exhibited extensively in New York, Washington, D.C., and other places in the world, as well as in private and corporate collections. From Boise is sponsored by Boise Savagery. Boise Savagery offers full-service tree, shrub, and lawn care, as well as plant health care and commercial tree services. Did you know that right now is the perfect time to prune your trees? Why now? Because many trees are dormant this time of year and haven't put on their leaves. Pruning dormant trees is much less stressful to them as they are not in the middle of their growth cycle. This is also the perfect time to set up your plant health care program, or to figure out if your trees and shrubs even need to be on a program. Virtually every tree in an urban environment is living in poor soil. Boise Savagery has the fertilizers and soil amendments needed to improve soil conditions. Applications to control harmful insects and fungal conditions are also often needed to optimize health. Spring is nearly upon us, so this is the time to have your landscape evaluated and to get a plan in place. Boise Savagery also offers lawn care service. You may not be thinking about your lawn yet, but Boise Savagery is. The first visit and application will be coming up soon, so don't wait to reach out and get your lawn on a program before the summer heat rolls in. We all know it is not the easiest task to keep your yard healthy and green when it's over 100 degrees out. If you're working on a commercial project or you have a corporate campus, Boise Savagery has some options for you too. Their dedicated team of certified arborists can help you create a tree management and preservation plan, manage your tree inventory, and more. Don't wait for spring to care for your trees. Contact Boise Savagery today for a free consultation. You can call 208-473-8223 or contact them through their website at www.savagery.com. You can find that link in the show notes. In 1988, Cyril began building her home and studio in Garden City. Cyril had MS and lupus, and the big old Victorian on 8th had gotten to be too much upkeep. By that time, her kids were grown and out of the house, and a simple live-work space was just what Cyril needed. Becky said, quote, "She simplified so she could focus whatever energy she had on the things that mattered to her, which was making art and being with people and taking care of herself," end quote. Cyril designed a custom house that was all one level with big doorways and thresholds and plenty of open creative space. Tilly said, quote, "There's a bar in the middle of the house that has a curtain on it so she could pull if she ever wanted to have separation between the workspace and the home," said Tilly. And Becky added, "And she never used it. It didn't matter to her," end quote. Cyril hosted many people here in this home. She threw big parties, art salons, and hosted drawing groups. She also held grand performances and dinner gatherings. Tilly and Becky both remembered a specific performance by Lynn Hoffland, a talented local actress and the partner of Mark Hoffland, who's the managing director of Idaho Shakespeare Fest. Tilly said, quote, "Lynn is a really talented artist, but she hadn't sort of broken through as an actor yet at that time. She did a one-woman show called Shirley Valentine that took place in two time periods. The earlier time period took place at Ruth Wright's house, which was across the street. And then everybody would trapeze across the street to Searle's house, and Searle's house was Greece. It was a phenomenal performance, said Tilly. I mean, it was like traveling theater before traveling theater was a hit, end quote. And that was just what Searle did. She was before her time in many ways, and perhaps that was because Searle did not really care what was the norm for any given time. Searle did what Searle thought was interesting, and that included being on the Planning and Zoning Commission for Garden City. Becky said, quote, there was never a time in her life when she wasn't also working in the community. When she decided to go to Garden City, it wasn't surprising to see that she started working with the Garden City Council. She was very civic-minded, and in part for her own interest, end quote. In Garden City, Searle was not interested in zoning per se. Searle was interested in making Garden City a place where artists could easily live and work. Tilly said, quote, she was not afraid to get involved in something that was really outside of her wheelhouse to try to affect positive change. She saw how things could be better or different, and she was not afraid to take that on, end quote. Searle advocated for a neighborhood where art and community were at the forefront. She saw gentrification happening in Garden City even back then, and she saw the potential to solve those problems with art and creativity. In 2007, after years of work, Garden City Council formally approved the creation of a Live, Work, Create district, a place that advocates for artist workspace, affordable housing, and creative placemaking. After her death in 2011, the Garden City Council renamed the district in her honor. However, in 2022, the Garden City Council voted to repeal the Live, Work, Create district overlay. The Live, Work, Create branding still remains throughout the neighborhood. Searle's place. Searle's home was a door is always open kind of place. She used her home in unusual ways, and she invited people over often. Becky said, quote, her house has always been a gathering place for all sorts of people. She threw great parties. It was a kind of place that people just stopped by because people just wanted to be there. And it's because they knew that they could be themselves. End quote. Near the end of Searle's life, Becky came back to Boise to take care of her mom during her final 6 months. Becky said, quote, the amount of management I had to do of the people was intense. Almost every night someone would show up, people brought flowers and food, people came to cry and say goodbye. And every single one of those people felt that they had the most special connection to her. Every one of them, you know? It wasn't like acquaintances. They all felt like she was an exceptionally special person in their life, said Becky. Searle died on October 10th, 2011. In the days leading up to her passing, Becky had a light bulb moment. She said, quote, the prospect of dismantling her home in the face of the fact that all these people had been gathering there for so many years just seemed impossible to me. I had this thought like, why can't we just keep using it the same way she's been using it? Why would we stop this? Said Becky. Becky did a quick search and found that Idaho is the only state that did not have a nonprofit artist in residence program. She knew immediately that this was meant to happen here in her mom's home, and she knew that she could not do it alone. Becky said, quote, I knew I couldn't do it without Tilly and that she'd be the only person that I could do it with. I just knew that Tilly and I would be motivated by the same things on both levels, to honor my mom's legacy and to serve creative people. And that would fuel us to keep doing it, end quote. Becky and Tilly founded Searle's Place in 2012, along with the help of founding board members Michael Baltzell, Leah Clark, Tracy Elhers, Suzanne Nibby, Mike Cordell, Bev Harad, and Mark Goldie. Winston Mitchell has also been a supporter of Searle's Place over the years and serves as the organization's staff photographer. The nonprofit offers Searle's home, studio, and community to artists, writers, and performers from all over the country and world for month-long residencies. Local artists also use Searle's Place for events and 7 to 14 day studio residencies, as well as professionally supported art events. Tilly said, quote, we joke that we created a nonprofit out of grief and not wanting to dismantle her house, but it's true. The majority of the house is left as is when Searle was alive. So the other cool thing is people really feel Searle's spirit there, you know? She's still really embodied in the home, end quote. After nearly a decade of running Searle's Place, Becky and Tilly have stepped away from the daily goings-on of the nonprofit. The organization is run by a dedicated board of directors, longtime program director Jody Eichelberger, and longtime staff assistant Marnie Elmore. Searle's Place has served hundreds of artists from Idaho, the U.S., and around the world who have come to stay and create in Searle's home. In addition, Searles Place hosts multiple free or low-cost events every month, including workshops, readings, performances, and exhibits open to the greater community. Each visitor who sets foot in Searles Place comes to visit Searle in a way. You can't help but feel her here. She is everywhere, still. Even without having known her, I feel like she could breeze through the open front door at a moment's notice. Live like Searle. Sometimes when I'm considering a story for From Boise, I'll casually mention it to people to gauge the interest or knowledge on the subject. I started mentioning Searle last summer, and every time, without fail, people would light up. Oh, I just loved Searle. She was a hoot. Oh, you have to write about her. Searle was one of the coolest people ever. Searle was one of my dearest friends. You know, us Jewish women have to stick together. Ah, yes, Searle. She was such a force. A force. That phrase came up so often, and I can see now what people mean. Searle was a force because she was different, and she was different because she was unapologetically herself. She was who she was, and in turn, she allowed everyone to be exactly who they are, too. She offered radical acceptance. She said exactly what she thought, for better or worse. She went after opportunities and didn't hesitate stepping in if she thought she could make a positive change. Searle carried an extreme openness that made way for an extreme fullness of life. Becky said, quote, I think her experience of growing up as a Jewish person in Pottstown with these weird parents, I mean, she was definitely a fish out of water. And then she ended up in Boise, Idaho, where she just couldn't help but be herself. I think she inspired people and gave people permission to do the same, end quote. Searle has left us all with something. For Tilly, it's her laugh. As Tilly said, quote, she had a wonderful laugh, an irreverence, and that would be applied in multiple different kinds of situations. I remember her ability to find humor in situations that weren't necessarily funny, said Tilly. For Becky, it's a memory of her mom that plays like a loop. This is what she said. You know, you grow up and you move away and you're in a big city and you're busy, and I didn't talk to her enough. It'd be 3 weeks in between talking to her, but when I came home, she was always so happy to see me, said Becky. I remember one time specifically. She was wearing these green overalls and a long white sleeve shirt, and she had her slippers on, and there was paint all over the overalls, and the way she looked at me was just like, she loved me so deeply. No matter how full her life was, when she looked at me, just like she looked at everybody else, she saw me and she loved me, and I delighted her, said Becky, remembering her mom through tears. And I just replay that in my mind. Simple. End quote. Hundreds, probably thousands of people have their own memories of Searle. Her parties, her incredible art, her kindness, her acceptance, her wit, her humor, her willingness to get shit done, her home, her heart. Even those of us who didn't meet her can carry a piece of her. We can all take a page or two out of Searle's book. We can host more parties. We can go to more things. We can make friends with people regardless of their age, background, culture, or worldview. We can get involved in our cities and communities where we feel passionate, and we can make positive change. We can make or buy art. We can give people space to be who they are without judgment or control. We can adapt our lives to our changing bodies and needs without losing sight of the things that we love to do. We can find humor in the mundane. We can focus on the potential of our neighborhoods rather than fall to the fear of change. We can speak up. We can keep creating. We can love everyone. We can be unapologetically ourselves. We can fill our time here on earth with people, places, parties, and pleasure. And we can live, work, and create. We can all live life a little more like Searle. As always, you can find photos that go along with this story in today's newsletter. I have some photos in there that are from my day spent writing at Searle's house, which was amazing. There's also some other photos in there from Searle's life, which were shared with me by her daughter, Becky. You can learn more about Searle's Place, and you can also make a donation. I have a link to that in the show notes. As Searle's Place is not endowed, individual donations and memberships are integral to its longevity. You can also visit Searle's home and, you know, visit Searle by attending an upcoming event at Searle's Place. There's a workshop that's coming up on Saturday, March 30th about creating reusable plaster molds and single-use algonite. Searle's Place is also open for Garden City's first Friday and art and studio strolls, and the next one is happening on Friday, April 5th. Also, if you haven't, you should go check out the Live Work Create District in Garden City. While you're there, you should go check out some of the new murals going up or that have gone up as part of the Garden City Placemaking Fund, which is a project that I think Searle would be very, very happy about. All right. Thanks for listening.